Well, I think obviously Wednesday must be the day of the week because Chelsea talked about Wednesday earlier. Well, last Wednesday, our administrator here came to us, to Sarah and I, with the end of month financial documents that we're required to sign. And each month we do the same thing. We sign a few documents, we still sign some checks. But one of these documents is the reconciliation. So apologies to any accountants in the room, but I do look at the figures. I try to understand what they are. I ask some questions. Karen explains to me any abnormal transactions. And when I believe I know what it all means, then I sign away. But last week, Karen said something to me that caught my attention when she said, "This is just the reconciliation." Now, Karen may have said this to me before, but I've never picked up on it. But maybe this time it made me think, because as we're continuing our journey of Advent and this theme of the gift, today we look at the gift of reconciliation. And I have to say that I am really loving looking at the different gifts that Jesus gives to us, not just at Christmas, but all the time, because ultimately we wouldn't have Christmas at all without the gift of Jesus. And when we consider why God sent his son to earth as a baby, we can easily pair it with reconciliation. But often reconciliation is something that we focus on more at Easter rather than Christmas, isn't it? Kent Hughes, a retired minister and author from Illinois in the United States, says the cross is the ultimate evidence that there is no length the love of God will refuse to go in effecting reconciliation. There is no length the love of God will go in effecting or achieving reconciliation. So when I think about my conversation with Karen on Wednesday, I'm reminded that this is not just reconciliation, that this is actually the life-transforming love of God who sent his son to earth in order that we may be in a relationship with him. Now, if you were to Google the meaning of reconciliation, which I did, you will find many and varied responses explaining this word. Some of them are people's opinions of what reconciliation is. Then, of course, you get the dictionary, either the Macquarie or the Oxford or Webster dictionary definitions. But one thing that I read that I love simply says that reconciliation is to make good again. Most of us here know that we were created in the image of God. And we know the story of Adam and Eve. And when they ate the fruit from the tree in the Garden of Eden, theirs and consequently our relationship with God was damaged. And in order for God to make this right again, to make this good again, he sent Jesus to earth to be born in a stable, to grow into a man, to spend 3 years here on earth, teaching, healing, and loving others before being crucified and raised to life, in order that we might be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. What a gift. What an amazing gift Jesus is. Well, I'm not sure how many of you have finished your Christmas shopping. Anyone here completely finished? Completely finished? Is that because you haven't started or you don't need to start? Yes. Yes. No, that's good. Anyone here not started their Christmas shopping? Couple of people not started their Christmas shopping. Dave asks me quite frequently if I've finished yet. I think it's because he wants me to stop shopping, but, you know, I'm not sure that's ever going to happen. But how much time do you spend planning and preparing the gifts that you're going to give your family and friends? Well, several years ago, I was listening to the radio just after Christmas, and the person on the radio requested for listeners to call in if they had left their Christmas shopping until the last minute. What he was wanting to know was, had people needed to shop on Christmas Day for Christmas presents? And if they had, he wanted to know two things. A, where had they shopped on Christmas Day? And B, what had they actually bought? So people were ringing in, talking about the present that they'd bought their great aunt from the local 7-Eleven. Someone rang and talked about all the things that they had purchased from the local service station for one of their relatives that they didn't know was coming for Christmas. And while I was kind of mortified that this was actually happening in the real world, it was very funny as people were talking about buying air freshener car things as Christmas presents for their family and friends. But when I recalled this again, and I have no idea why it came to mind again in the last couple of weeks, I found myself very grateful that this is not how Jesus gave us the gift, sorry, not how God gave us the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus is not something that God came up with last minute. He didn't think, I need to get a gift. I know I'll send a saviour, but how am I going to do this and who am I going to send and how will it work? No, God had prepared and planned to send Jesus long before Jesus actually came. We heard earlier from the scripture that Kerry read from the prophet Isaiah and this wonderful prophecy about the coming of Jesus. And these words were written about 700 years before Jesus actually came. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God's plan was always Jesus. Jesus was always going to be the gift of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church about reconciliation. He was reminding the people in Corinth that Jesus came and died for all and was raised again to life. Then he goes on and he says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Why? Because there is no length the love of God will refuse to go in effecting reconciliation between us and him. In 1885, Christina Rossetti wrote the hymn, Love Came Down at Christmas. And as a young woman, Rossetti suffered from poor health, and it's said that she found solace in her faith and in the arts. And she was quite a prolific poet who wrote the lyrics of hymns as well as poetry that was never set to music. And Love Came Down at Christmas is one of her most well-known. And the words say, love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Love came to us. God is love. Love is God. Love came to us at Christmas. This is clearly a message that Rossetti wanted to get across, because in the three short verses of this carol, this hymn that we can sing, she used the word love or lovely 12 times, almost as many times as I'm saying the word reconciliation this morning. But there is no length the love of God will refuse to go. If you were here last Sunday or if you watched online, Clayton mentioned the story of the prodigal son, one of my favourite stories in scripture that Jesus told. And while Clayton used it in terms of the gift of grace, I've been considering it again this week in relation to the gift of reconciliation, in terms of making things right. The son, we are told in Luke's gospel, He had taken his inheritance and he'd wasted it away, living a life that was not what his father had planned for him. He decided to return home when he'd hit rock bottom to see if his father would hire him as a servant, because he recognised that the servants that his father had lived better than the way he was living by that point. And it says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The father wanted to make the relationship right. And why did he want to do this? Because he loved his son. This is the same for us with God. This Christmas, today, in fact, every day, God wants to have a relationship with us, a good relationship with us, a right relationship with us. And so he had a plan that the prophets had spoken about years and years and years before. And the plan was and still is Jesus. Mary, Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, King Herod, even the donkey, they were all part of the plan. But Jesus and the gift of reconciliation was why God sent his son to earth to make our relationship right with him. And he was not going to stop at anything. And he is still not going to stop at anything. And nothing that we do can stop God's love for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It says in Romans 8, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, says the Apostle Paul, that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Because there is no length the love of God will refuse to go in effecting our reconciliation to him. Nothing. So where does this leave us? I have some questions. What are you going to do with this gift this Christmas? It's easy for us to say, yes, we know. But every Christmas and every day, we are given this gift of reconciliation through Jesus. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to share it as the Apostle Paul urged the people in Corinth to do? Are you going to thank God for the gift that he has given to us? He came because the world lay in sin and error pining. He came to break chains, and in his name all oppressions shall cease. And what is our response to him? He's given us this gift. Fall on our knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night when Christ was born. Let all within us praise his holy name. He is the Lord. His power and glory evermore proclaim. This Christmas, what are you going to do with the gift of Jesus?